Hey, Relay listeners. So excited to have Emma Grace Hurley joining Mike and I for our Chat with the Pro series. We sadly are missing Laura today, but we've got Mike, and we're so excited to welcome you on the show. Welcome to the show, Emma Grace.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Congratulations on making your first Worlds team and coming off the World Championships.
Thank you. It was so fun to be there. I still can't believe it happened, but it was so much fun.
What was your favorite part?
Oh my gosh. That's like the hardest question you could have possibly asked me. Okay. I have two that are tied. First was just getting to be part of a team again. And I think that the group of us who went over there, the women's group who went over there, especially, I feel like we got so close in like 4 or 5 days and raced so well as a team and even like worked together during the race. So that was awesome. And then also my aunt decided like a week before that she was going to go, and there was some confusion about if she was going to go with a friend or go alone. And I walked into her hotel when she got there, which was the second day that I had been there, and my cousin was sitting there and surprised me. So that was really fun.
That is so special.
You know, it was awesome. I was so happy.
Emma Grace, since it's your first U.S. team, I was thinking maybe you could answer a question that, like, I don't think most of our listeners will ever be able to kind of answer for themselves. But, like, when you're lining up in a world caliber race and you've got the USA kit on for the first time and you've like looked to your left and right and it's like other teammates of yours in USA kit, what does that feel like as a runner, as a competitor? Like, what's going through your mind at that time?
For me, I like wanted to get really emotional. I'm one of those people who, when I watch like people become Olympians or when I watch people cross the line at World Championships and become medalists, like I cry. Like, it makes me really emotional, but in that moment, you just kind of have to shut it down and remember, like, it's a race, and that's maybe not the most productive emotion to have at that point, but just a lot of gratitude for being able to be there, and then, obviously, you're feeling competitive. You want to beat everyone else, not, like, on your own team, but, like, all the other countries, so, yeah, just mostly gratitude, though. It was so cool.
That's awesome. Can you give us a little sense of what the race plan was, either like as a team or for yourself, or however like breaking down the race would make sense for you?
Yeah, well, it was a little hotter than we thought it would be, so that definitely affected things. At least like the day before, I think we knew, but the months before, maybe not so much. But yeah, we just kind of wanted to just let the front pack go. That was not something that we were about to do for the most part. Wayne went with them, but then the rest of us kind of wanted to sit either in that like second or third pack off of the front and just try to move up throughout the race. I probably was like one pack up from most of the girls, but we reconnected maybe with like a couple Ks to go, and we're able to work together to, well, me repass some people and for them to keep picking up people as they went.
I think that it would be helpful here to have a little backstory as well, as in case some of our listeners aren't familiar with your story. And Mike and Emma Grace, you mentioned you did a live stream together in Atlanta. So now you're living in Indianapolis, where you followed your coaches, Amy and Andrew Bagley. Maybe give us a little backstory about what landed you in Indianapolis and kind of what led up to making your first Team USA.
Yeah. Prior to living in Indianapolis, I was in Atlanta with the Atlanta Track Club, and my coaches were Andrew and Amy Bagley. They were absolutely wonderful. I had a great experience with them. And then in the second year that I was on the team, we found out that they were going to part ways with the track club and move up to Indianapolis. So they left the track club in August, though I continued to be coached by them through the end of the year, and which was initially to kind of finish my season with the track club, because most of the track people started in or finished in August, which was probably like 80-85% of the team at that point. But then myself and a couple others, two other girls, were going to continue and do a couple longer road races in the fall. So we were able to continue training with them. And then once I was finished there, I moved up here to stay with them.
Was that a hard decision? Like, had you ever thought like, oh, Indianapolis is going to be somewhere that I'm probably going to live in my 20s?
No, not really. That wasn't the thought. That said, it wasn't Indianapolis itself wasn't super scary to me. I was worried about there not being much to do, which I was actually pleasantly surprised that there's a lot of fun restaurants and more to do than I thought there would be. So that's been a pleasant surprise. But I didn't really feel like it was that much of a decision. I wanted them to be my coaches. I wanted them to keep training with them. I don't know that it was really that much of a decision, or to me, it felt a little bit more like, oh, well, wherever they go, I'll go too. I hope they choose somewhere that I like. So that was kind of how I thought about it.
All right, though, but that being said, you grew up in the Atlanta area. And so like you had to leave both the Atlanta track club and kind of where your family was and some of your support down there. Having now like left all that and gone to Indianapolis, does that mean you're like never allowed to run Petrie Road Race again? Or are you still, can you still run it if you wanted to?
I don't think that's a question for me. I mean, obviously, like as someone from Atlanta, like I probably won't go run it this year, but at some point I'm sure I would like to go run it again. I hope they'll let me. I don't think I left on bad terms at all. Okay. Like I think that I'm allowed back.
Okay.
At least I hope I am. But yeah, no, I would like to again at some point. But yeah, it was hard to leave my family and my friends in Atlanta. That was kind of one of the things that I liked about being there, was just that like all of my people were there, and I just was kind of in Atlanta anyway before I joined the track club. Like I didn't just go straight out of school and like look for a group. Like I was just there. So in that regard, like this was my first kind of like definitive, like, okay, I am going to pursue this running thing more than like signing up and doing the training and all of that. Like I really did have to make like a big life change to pursue it. But yeah, I mean, it was hard to leave Atlanta for sure. But I just saw like such a huge upside of like following them and making sure that I could keep training with them.
And Indianapolis is a happy place to live. I mean, I've never lived in Atlanta, but let's just be honest, the traffic situation in Indianapolis is much less stressful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, both are happy places to live, but I will say Indianapolis has been a bit easier to get around. And another sneaky benefit is I like to go get pre-marinated salmon for dinner, and you just go and it kind of stays good for 48 hours. It was like $9 to get one like salmon fillet in Atlanta, and it's $4 here. So that's,
whoa.
Yeah.
Are you going to the Fresh Market, I'm assuming?
I'm going to, well, in Atlanta, I would go to Publix, get the bourbon marinated salmon. And then here I've been going to, it's called Fresh Time, T-H-Y-M-E. Yeah. Really creative there. And I get, what do I get? I switch it up here. I haven't figured out which one's my favorite here yet.
I used to go to that Fresh Time all the time. but do you miss Publix? Because Publix is the best grocery store. Let's be honest.
Yeah, the Publix to not Publix adjustment has been quite difficult, actually. I mean, I even like, there's a certain kind of coffee filter that Publix has that you can't find. It's just been tough.
You like walk down the aisles of a Publix and you're like, this is a masterpiece. Like they just do it right. It's always clean. It's always organized. It's always beautiful. I've never known how much I could be like enamored by how well a grocery store is designed until I went into a really good Publix.
Ugh, I know. Yeah. That has been tough. And they even have like, if you want, like if you're like a charcuterie person, like I love that. If I'm going to have a lazy lunch, they kind of have it already like set up for you. It's awesome.
Okay. I heard your dog. Tell us about your dog.
Oh my gosh. Did you actually hear her?
I think unless Mike has a dog downstairs.
I do not have a dog.
So sorry. She's been so okay. Good all day. And then I think she knows around now that this is when it's about to be her time again. I'm about to just sit on the couch with her for the next 4 hours. But I have a foxhound. Her name is Ava. I realized I was going to be really lonely up here. So I moved up here and got a dog like pretty much all within 10 days. But it was kind of on a whim. And I was actually just talking to my mom yesterday that I was like, yeah, that was maybe not the most responsible decision. I kind of just like decided and then got her like 2 days later. But she has been so good. She's actually 1 year old, and I didn't have to do most of the training. And I got her at one, so she's obviously from a pretty rough situation because she's a rescue. But she's been so good and so sweet.
Those are the best dogs. That's our dog passed away last year, but she was same. Got her at a rescue. We got her when she was probably around one. So you didn't have to do the potty training, but like still needs a lot of running and a lot of activity. Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah. And she's been a good running buddy too, which has been like really fun to go on the Monon with her. I mean, she wants to greet and play with every single other dog, and there's a lot of dogs out there, but it's been fun.
Do you think when you're on the trail on the Monon, like people are side-eyeing you, like, wait, doing a double take, like she's a professional runner?
I don't know. There's a lot of good runners in Indianapolis. Like even in the couple blocks I live in, I think there's like two people. One for sure. There's a girl named Lucy who ran the marathon trials. And then I think there's a guy that like also lives like right by me who ran the marathon trial. So there's a lot of like good runners in the area. So I don't know. I don't really think so. I think that there's a lot of like really accomplished runners. So I just kind of blend in a little bit.
I can't imagine living in an area where it's like, yeah, I just came home from Europe where I represented the United States. And I'm like one of the other decent runners around here. That just seems so surreal.
I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot. There's also someone who is like an Olympian for Great Britain that lives like two blocks away from me. There's a lot of like good people in the area.
Rob Mullet.
Yes. Yeah. I sit by here and watch people run by all day. And like, you can kind of tell when someone's like runs versus like if it's, oh, I would go for a jog every 2 weeks. And everyone who runs by like runs.
Yeah.
It's really impressive.
Mike, sorry, I was trying to give you, I feel like I'm hogging the interview.
No worries. I'm enjoying learning about the indie running scene. I haven't been to Indianapolis in a while. I ran the marathon there years ago, but I haven't been back. But maybe this will be the year where I go back and check out the marathon. It's a good race.
You should definitely go check out Monumental or the 500, the mini marathon. I'm going to be in town for probably both of those.
Have you kissed the bricks?
Yes. I have run the mini marathon probably, I don't know, 10 times. Oh, and okay. If I've like been running it, trying to run fast, maybe my half marathon PR is actually on that course. I didn't kiss the bricks, but there's been multiple times where I've just run it for fun and you have to kiss the bricks. That's like okay. I've like eaten donuts on the track and kissed the bricks. Like, you know, there's a certain way you run it when you kiss the bricks.
I see. I'm so confused. What does this mean?
So the 500 Festival Mini Marathon runs on the 500 track where they run the Indy 500. And so it's like a thing. You kiss the bricks and there's the bricks on the track. And like, it's just, I don't know. It's like something that you do. And so you're going to learn all about that. And if you are in town, you should definitely go to the Indy 500. It is a spectacle.
I've heard it's so fun.
But like, it's going to be like, you might be racing that weekend. You don't know what your schedule is. It's
yes.
It's like, it's Memorial Day weekend, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I've been off the last 3 days. So I've been really enjoying not thinking about running. And then tomorrow I'll start thinking about running again.
So you have been taking a break, obviously, rightfully so. You've just come off the World Championships. What do you have your sights set on in the future?
Actually, I really wanted to run fast this year. So I'm going to run a 5K and a couple 1500s. Immediately coming up is the road mile. So I'm really excited about that. We'll see how that goes. I'm excited. And then, yeah, ideally I run well enough in the 5K to kind of feel like I can walk away from the track and transition into like some longer stuff and kind of stay there. I just have a couple goals left in the 5K. I didn't run the 10K in college. So being like a graduate in 2020, I feel like I just have felt like there's unfinished business in the 5K for a couple of years now. And I'm hoping to kind of put a bow on that and put the track away. It doesn't love me as much as I want it to. I just never feel like I do as well on the track as I could. And I mean, like my road 5K PR is like 25 seconds faster than my track one. So we'll see. Maybe hopefully this year it'll switch for a little bit.
So you're roads, that's your love.
I do love them. Yeah. I really far prefer to race on the roads over the track. But I do still have goals on the track that I just want to check off and then put it away.
Can we go back to Serbia for Worlds for a second? I saw somewhere that you had posted that you had pretty much wrecked your spikes on the course that day because it was so muddy. What did you do with the spikes? Where are they now? Like, do you bring that home? Do you leave them there? What's the story with the spikes now?
So this is a whole ordeal, actually.
Okay.
So first of all, these spikes are beautiful. They're a white shoe with a pink like sole, like literally my dream. I feel like they made them for me. So thank you, ASICS. They're absolutely wonderful. So the night before at dinner, I was like, I'm not even going to bring the spikes home. They're going to be so wrecked. They're bringing mud to the course. And this was a whole ordeal. My aunt goes, you can't. You'll never race Worlds for the first time again. So after the race, I found a trash bag from the medical people. And I put them in the trash bag and brought them home. And they still haven't left the trash bag because every time I look in there, they're still muddy. But I kind of want to like frame them with the mud, and I don't know, it'd be fun like to just have as the first time I got to wear that kit, like these are the shoes and this is what they looked like after the race. I think it'd be kind of fun to like personally have that.
Yeah, I think you definitely should. You should have it like one of those like clear boxes so you could see the entire mess of it all too. Because that course was pretty gnarly.
It was insane. And I know it wasn't as hilly as the year before, but it was still crazy. So I can't even imagine doing all of that like with hills in there. I mean, they did have like the fake hills, but yeah, it was crazy.
And the then fake hills, meaning the haystacks, is the hay bales? Is that?
No, they had like ramps that were just fake hills. One of them was pretty gradual. The other one was pretty steep.
What did that feel like compared to any other like cross country course you've run on in the past? Was this the craziest?
It was definitely the craziest. I love a good challenge. Like I think cross country should be hard, and like the whole like people trying to run fast in cross country is fine, but it's not me. Like I want to run like a tough cross country course because that's just like what it is. So I really loved it. It was getting really hard, and obviously like you're kind of annoyed by the end. Like why did they put this mud here? But I kept reminding myself, like, this is so fun. Like, this is what I've kind of always wanted a cross-country course to be like. It's just, like, this mess of things. So I loved it.
And then Lindsay mentioned the hay bales. Did you hurdle the bales or run around them? Or what was the plan for you? I've seen some photos of you hopping over some of them. But did you hop over all of them?
No. So I ran the steeplechase in college. And so I know what I can do through about 3,000 meters. But then after that, I was like, I have no idea. So the first time I jumped over both of them. And the second time I was kind of tired. I only jumped over one. And then I like weaved the rest of the time. But yeah, we were kind of looking the day before, and it was definitely faster if you could jump over both of them, I guess, like with the asterisk, like if you don't fall. So I jumped as many as I could before I was like, okay, I'm going to fall or fall.
When you made this team, like in your vision, in your life vision, on your vision board, like making your first US team, did you envision that it would be a cross country team?
I never envisioned myself making a team. So I don't know. That's tough. I think cross country is, I'm glad it was my first one because I love the team aspect and I love the idea of like working with other people to accomplish a goal. So I don't know that I would say I ever imagined myself on a US team, but I'm glad it was cross country.
I mean, that feels like a good like way to have that first like national experience because everyone has kind of the same schedule. You're all going to the same event and it's not so much like, oh, you're on day one and you're on day eight. Mm. Everyone kind of is more aligned and you do get more of that team flavor. But along those lines, I noticed that there was a after party after the races. Did you go to the after party? Did you guys go as a team? Do you have any information that you could share on that?
Most people went. I actually didn't. I hung out with my family afterwards. Okay. Not a lot of people's family like made it over there. So I definitely wanted to be sure that I saw them, and I just felt like it was so cool that they were there. So I would just wanted to spend time with them, and it was really fun. We went shopping, walked around the city. They walked like over 20 miles in the time they were there, and I definitely didn't do that, but we did. I wanted to see the sights. You know, we're only in the city so long, and we left the next morning at 6 a.m. And so I both wanted to see them and like have some more time to see Belgrade itself. So I didn't go, but that's okay.
Has the bar been set high for teams in the future?
Oh, yeah. I feel like we had so much fun. Serbia itself was definitely an interesting place to be. But I thought it was so much fun, and it was my first time, aside from actually the aunt that went wedding in Mexico, which then we were like on a resort in Cancun and didn't leave, and like it's basically not being out of the country. So it was my first real time out of the country. So that was interesting, and the bar has definitely been set pretty high.
Wow. You've got a lot of travel ahead of you, though. I mean, really, like. That's the life of a professional runner. You're going to be traveling all over the world.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. At least like the next couple teams that I think about that I think that I might want to make, those are in the United States, which is kind of like in a way it's good because like my family can actually go. But yeah, it's like, oh, that's usually like the opportunity to go somewhere else. But yeah, it was really fun though.
Another kind of like non-professional athlete question here. If you make another team, do they send you a whole other like giant bag full of U.S. They've got to, right? Because it could change from year to year. Or are they like, well, Emma Grace has already got it, so like she's good? How does that work?
I have no idea. I really have no idea. I'd imagine they send another one. Doesn't it change like with the Olympics every year?
I think it changes like maybe every four years, maybe. I'm not sure.
Or to be honest with the Olympics every year, every 4 years.
Yeah.
I feel like that's when it switches over. So I think we were, if I had to guess, we were probably the last team that got that exact thing. But I'm not sure. I'm sure they send you at least a little refresher of things you might need.
Okay.
So wait, we've talked about you loving the roads, but the track trials are coming up. What are you thinking about?
Well, I have to get a mark first, but I would love to run the 5K. Ideally, I can go and get a mark in the 5K and then not really have to worry about it until the trials. I have more 1500s on the calendar than anything else, though I am not confused. I know that's not my event. It's just like, hey, let's work on speed. Like as long as we're going to run track. But yeah, ideally, I know I'd probably have more success in the 10K, but I know I'm not going to have like as much success there as I think I could have on the roads. So like while we're kind of sitting in this middle ground, why wouldn't I just do something that I like more, especially if it can develop more speed. And I think that that's going to serve me well long term, more so than going and running a 10K would. So yeah, that's kind of the fun and the way I rationalize running the 5K.
Okay, so this is like probably, I feel like this is always the most annoying question to ask people who are like deep in the throes of like being a 5K runner, you know, running shorter distances. But like one has to wonder, do you know where this is going?
No, I don't.
Okay, because like we're big marathon dorks. So like one has to wonder if that is in your like sights in the down the line.
Not in the immediate future. I don't really have like any immediate plans to pursue that, but it's definitely like in the back of my mind. Yeah, I would love to.
I always feel like, really like what are you talking about? Like I'm not doing that right now. Why are you asking? But
no, I do think about it. Like,
okay. Like, when you see other people like Natasha Rogers going up and like when you see all these other people making the transition, you're like, and then you like alluded to loving the road so much more than the track. I'm like, well, maybe in, what, 2032?
Yeah, it's not in my mind. I would put it that way. Like I'm not about to go run one like this year, but I don't know. I would like to at some point.
What's your favorite thing, like, as a fan of the sport to pay attention to?
I like paying attention to the marathon. That's my, maybe not my favorite to sit down and watch, but I like to be there for it. Like, I love how the New York Marathon gives you, if you run the 5K, tickets the next day. I actually didn't go to the grandstand this year. I watched it from like a couple of different points, like on the course, but I love like being there for a marathon. But if I'm going to sit down and watch something, I want to watch the whole thing, and the commercials annoy me. So actually to just like spectate, they usually won't put a commercial in the middle of 1500 or an eight. So I like that. And I like watching my teammates. So the eight and the 15 are probably the ones that like I watch the most of.
Are you running a lot with your teammates in Indianapolis?
Yeah, probably more than you'd think. Probably more than they liked in the last couple of weeks leading up to cross country, if we're going to be honest. Yeah, Andrew would mark these courses and he'd be like, we're going to make these crazy turns and go up this rocky thing. And they're like, why? I'm running an oval. But it was to prep for cross country. And if we can run together, why not? But probably more than you think. Probably more to my I was happy about it, and they were probably like, am I doing this? And we wouldn't be doing like the exact same workouts, like some would differ, but we would at least have like part of it the same. So yeah.
And so for this group, it looks like are there multiple different sponsors that are getting involved here? You're running with ASICS now, and it mm-hmm. seems like everyone's kind of doing their own thing, and that's working out for the group.
Mm-hmm. I think it was important for our coaches, for everyone to kind of be able to kind of make their own path. And even when we were talking about my schedule this spring, like actually this week, I called Andrew and was like, I was supposed to go to Cherry Blossom this weekend, and things just were not feeling correct. When I got home, I was like, this is not the way I should feel, like 6 days out. And I also wanted more time to prep for track, because that was coming up sooner than I realized, I guess. And then all of a sudden the calendar was April. I was like, whoa, this seems like it's all coming up really quickly. Anyway, sorry, that was a long way to say that they really kind of let us all choose our own path. Like there were the races he kind of thought would be best, which usually those are the ones that I'm just like, yeah, I'll just do that. But if there was something different, like for the 1500, I wanted to go somewhere else instead of like where he kind of suggested, it was the same weekend, and that was fine. And then I think the same with sponsors and everything, like different sponsors are going to work for different people. So I think that was kind of important, that everyone can interact with the sport and the team in the way that's best for them. And there's things that we'll all do, but there's, as far as like workouts go and meeting and all of that, like team cohesion, I think is a really important thing for all of us, just to be able to run together and enjoy each other's company. But as far as like the other pieces of it, like I think that that's a little bit more individualized.
Heartland Track Club?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Who named it? Did Amy and Andrew name it?
I think they threw out ideas, but we all kind of decided on it together.
Oh, how did you come up with it?
I think Andrew came up with it, but we liked the idea of like the heart, like that's cute. Heartland. And it's, like women's only. So, we, you know, that like, that would have been that was a good like logo idea. And then we're in the heartland. So it was something that was kind of like, not like specific to Indiana or anything like that, but like the general region that we're in. So yeah, it's simple, but that's kind of it.
Do you listen to country music?
A little bit.
Do you know the George Strait song, like Sing a Song About the Heartland?
No.
Sing a song about my life. It's so good. It takes me back to my childhood and like right in the back of my dad's truck. We'll link that song in the show notes if anybody.
Okay, good.
It's such a good old school country song. And every time I hear Heartland Track Club, I think about that song.
Aw, sweet. Oh, we have a team song now.
You have a team song.
I love it.
Speaking of that, have you been to the White River for any concerts?
What? I know the river, but what?
Yeah. In Indianapolis, like the White River, there's concerts downtown, and that is the best venue to see a concert.
I think I've seen it.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I know what you're talking about.
Like down by the zoo.
Yeah. Okay. I know what you're talking about. I've been on a walk, seen it. Yeah.
So look up.
No way.
Are you into music?
Yeah.
Okay, so look up the calendar because it's just the best venue because it's like a small outdoor venue. It doesn't matter where you sit. You're always close no matter what. It's very, downtown Indy is very easy compared to like downtown Chicago or, you know, other big cities. So yeah. That's where you got to go to your first Indy concert.
Cool. Okay. I'll have to look at that. That sounds actually really fun. It's so nice down there.
You didn't know that, like, no idea. You were hopping on a call with someone so passionate about Indianapolis.
I need all of the information. I know Broad Ripple and that's like it.
Yeah.
But when you were trying not to say where I lived.
Okay.
It's a large neighborhood. No, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a big area. Okay. Mike, what else do you have?
Let's go back to Serbia for a moment. Did you experiment with any new foods while you were out there? Like, what was the most interesting or the best thing that you ate while you were there?
Oh, I feel like we had so much good food. Okay. Oh,
okay.
First, I will say it is way cheaper than anywhere else. We had the most incredible, with my aunt and my cousin, we had the most incredible dinner like two nights before with like fresh caught fish. I mean, they like brought out the fish that they had caught that day. You see their little like eyes still in their heads. And it's like, this is for dinner tonight. Like, these are the specials. And so like an incredible dinner, like the best. We had like a little sushi appetizer. So good. So cheap. Like, amazing. And then, so that was really good. I had a really good seafood pasta there, but that was kind of like Americanized food. And then the night before the race, I had like normal food. Like, I had, like, a very plain, like, gnocchi kind of situation. But we had, like, a couple, like, things to start that I kind of nibbled on. Like, we had, like, a fried cheese thing that was really good, and their bread was incredible. I'm trying to think if we had anything. They really had, like, fairly, like, standard food. I guess we could have maybe branched out a bit more. But I'm trying to think back on what I had. Then after the race, we had, this was odd, actually. We went to this little pub to try to watch a soccer game after the race. And I ordered fish and chips. My aunt sitting next to me ordered fish and chips. They brought me fish and chips. Like, you would think about it. They brought her these little fish with a little seasoning on it. Like, I'm still convinced they, like, she ordered and they, like, went out and caught it out back. I don't know. But they were, like, almost live. Yeah.
Did she?
That was interesting. No. Didn't touch those. Yeah.
I was going to say, surely you didn't explore these foods the night before.
No, this was like right after and didn't explore them then. It was good. They had actually really good food there. So that was fun.
Were you nervous at all traveling so far since you said this was your first time going anywhere further than Mexico?
I was actually kind of nervous on the way there. I was like, oh my gosh, like, what if something happens? And I never used my passport before. And I don't know, you always had that fear that like something's wrong. And I was like, what if my passport doesn't work? It doesn't work that way. It works. It's a piece of paper, essentially. But I had some nervousness about it. I think most of my nervousness was actually about sleeping on the plane, which didn't go great. But now we know. I was in the first row of the main cabin, which I thought was going to mean that I had leg room. It didn't, because I pictured like a wall between like Comfort Plus and main cabin. So I was like, oh, I'll be able to stretch out. It'll be great. No. I was in the middle seat and I was sitting between two people who like they weren't small. And yeah. So I was like, oh, that could have been better. But now I know I need a window or an aisle and we'll do better next time.
We got to upgrade your travel. We got to get you in a comfortable seat.
Look, I'm a sucker for airlines upgrades. Like, if I see that it's like within a reasonable price, I will 100% upgrade myself. But unfortunately, I usually get those on the way home, not there, when I really want them on the way there.
Yeah.
But I am such a sucker. I am a sucker for that. My dad ruined me. He, when I was moving up here, we drove up, dropped the car, got the keys, flew home all in one day. And I was going to do it by myself. And then he was like, well, what's your confirmation number? Whatever. I'm like, why do you need that? And he booked himself a flight and like upgraded my seat. And I've just been a sucker ever since. He's absolutely ruined me.
Oh, dad, looking out.
It was pretty sweet, but It set me down a path.
You know what? I've never flown first class. Have you, Mike?
I have, I think, once or twice. My wife used to travel for work like 100%. So like she had like super mega diamond status or whatever. And so if there wasn't one available, we would get upgraded. And I think that's the only time I've flown first class. One other time, I think I got it on my own upgrade because I've been traveling a lot, but it was like a 45-minute flight. So I was like,
yeah, you're like, that's not, is that even worth it?
Doesn't really count, but I appreciate the gesture, you know?
So. I'm like, now that I've had to fly an entire family of six to places, I'm like, I'll look and see how much it is. I'm going to start looking and when it's just me by myself, one plane ticket, you know? Because, you know, flying the whole family is just like burn all my money.
That's a lot of people to get on a plane.
It is so many people. Okay, where do we want to go with this? Let's wrap this up. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I think this is a good place to wrap up. I'd like to ask a shoe question if I could, since that's always my angle. So you got a new sponsor now. How long have you been with ASICS now at this point?
Gosh, maybe about 4 to 6 weeks, somewhere in there.
Okay, so very, very. I remember when I saw you in the ASICS kit, I was like, "Oh, this is new." So, have you had a chance to get acclimated to all the new shoes, the daily trainers? What are you running in these days?
Yeah, I'm running in the Nimbus primarily.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I think I switch back and forth from. Between the Nimbus and the Cumulus, I like to have two different kind of going at the same time. And then for like faster workouts, I'll wear the Metaspeed Edge.
Okay.
For more long things, I'll wear the Metaspeed Sky. And then I raced in the Metaspeed Long Distance Spike at Worlds.
And are you going to get a new one from your sponsor, since that one is... it's a museum piece now, you know.
No, thankfully they sent me a couple, and I had some from like before that I was trying because I have some feet problems. I have to be able to run in the shoes,
sure.
And they're actually really comfortable. So yeah, I have a few pairs kind of on reserve for that. So yeah, I definitely am down those though.
And will it be a different spike for when you go down to the 1500? Distance?
Oh, we're the same thing.
Okay.
Look, I'm not confused. I'm not trying to go. I know that I'm not going to run a great 1500. I mean, I'm going to try so hard and I'm going to like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm going to be in the race, like fully thinking at 400 meters that I'm going to win this thing. And then I'm going to have like the sad reality later on. But no, I know that's so I'll just stick with the long distance spike and not hurt myself doing it.
Okay.
I love that you're doing it though. Like, I love that you're like
so excited.
Yeah. Like going all in and you know what you're capable of, but you're just doing it. Do you feel like when you'll be at the start line of those 1500s, like you want to say that disclaimer, like you just said now, like, hey, I know that this isn't my distance, but I'm going all in and I'm going to try my best to win.
I don't know if there needs to be, like, I feel like I'll just be there and be like, I'm so happy to be here. I also think everyone knows. Like, I don't think anyone who, like, knows me at all, like, I think of, yeah, I think the disclaimer is evident. Yeah, we know I'm not speedy like that.
When you signed with ASICS, like, what went into that decision-making process? And were you talking to other brands? And also, like, being with the Atlanta Track Club, I know that was like an Adidas group. So what did that look like changing over?
I really trusted that like Ray would know kind of what was the best. And my only thing was like, I just wanted the shoes to work. And I think it was a mixture of like I wasn't really talking to anyone else, but I think it was a mixture of like, he thought it was the best opportunity. Well, after he kind of like talked with them and like got the shoes sent to me, I kind of like texted him and immediately was like all in on this. Like, I love these shoes. So
we did an event in Orlando with Relay sponsored by ASICS. And so they sent the Nova Blast. I think that is my new favorite shoe, you guys.
Oh, I do long runs in those.
Yeah.
They're so comfortable.
I'm not a shoe person like Mike. And I generally will just run in whatever shoe I have at the time. Like, you know, depending on like if I'm working with a different brand for an event or something, I'm like, okay, whatever shoe they give me, that's the shoe I'm running in the next 200 miles in. But this shoe, I'm like,
they're so comfortable.
I don't know that I can switch. Like, I love it so much.
They're really good. Well, I think that, like, the Cumulus, the Nimbus, and those are all, like, the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn. I'm like, why didn't I do this before? And obviously, different brand, but they're really comfortable.
How about ASICS, though? You had a lot, like a good showing at the Olympic trials.
I was sitting there and I didn't have anything. I was like, oh, geez. Wow. They're doing great. And obviously I was like really happy for everyone. I was like, wow, this is my expectation. But I mean, that's what kind of like what I expect for myself someday. So I was like actually really honored to like know that may be on the table. And they did that well, because that's, you know, what I hope to achieve someday. So that was really cool to see them do so well.
Such stellar women too, like that group of women. I mean, just amazing, all of them. Okay, well, let's wrap up with like, what are you doing in your spare time now? Like, what are you listening to? What are you reading? What are you watching?
Yeah, well, a lot of my like spare time from running is with my office job. I have like a part-time job doing some like software sales for a company called Canopy, and they've been like really flexible with everything. Running wise, I mean, especially like I was just in Serbia for a week. Like I tried to get on my computer and it wouldn't trust the Wi-Fi. So I just couldn't do anything and I felt kind of bad. But what are you going to do? But they've been really good about like, I go and do my thing and I'll get things done on time. And I think there's a lot of trust there. So that takes up a lot of my like free non-running time. I listen to a little bit of everything. I've been really excited about Taylor Swift's new album coming out. So I'm not listening to it yet. It's not out, but I'm excited for it. But a little bit of everything. And then reading. I read a lot of books. I have like this book of the month subscription thing. And I just read what they send me. And then whenever someone has like extra books, I get them. It's weird. I don't like watching TV during the day. I don't know. That's really weird. And I feel like I still do end up with like a couple hours of the day. I'm just like, what do I do? And there's like only so many loops you can walk with the dog, you know? So I read a little bit of everything, but anything like romance or historical fiction are my favorites.
What's the best, most recent book you've read?
I didn't love any that I've read recently. I'm trying to think. I really like anything by Kristen Hannah or like Abby Jimenez, or Emily Henry. Any of those three are really good. But yeah, I don't really think I've loved anything I've read recently. It's just kind of been like a whatever, this is here.
Mike, what's the best, most recent book you've read?
I don't read like reading books. I listen to books. I listen to None of This Is True. I don't know who wrote it, but it's a fiction book.
Wait, I think I read that recently.
It's about a podcast. It's set in England.
I read that recently, actually.
Okay. Birthday Twins.
Oh, that was one? Really good.
Yeah, that was good. I enjoyed that one. And then another one was Yellowface. I've been trying to do more fiction lately because I've done a lot of like nonfiction or like running books, which are great. This was the last couple of years have been great for running books. Hopefully that trend will continue. But like, I was like, I need some like completely different from all the running podcasts that I listen to and all the running books. So I've been just trying to get into some fiction. So those were two that I recently read and they were pretty good. I liked the podcast one, the None of This Is True. That was, I enjoyed that one.
There were so many twists in that one.
There were. Like there was a lot. Mystery?
I felt like every few chapters I would have a different thought of like what the outcome was going to be.
It's about a podcast host or what?
Yeah, Lindsay, you're just going to have to read the book because you've got two good recommendations coming at you right now. But yeah, it's about someone that has a podcast. It becomes like a true crime kind of thing. And so now all my recommendations are for other books about podcasts. So now I'm like, I can't just read books about podcasts, but I'm like, but I'm liking it. So, okay, I guess we'll go down this path. We'll see.
And that was good. It was twisty for sure.
I like a good like psychological thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for coming on Relay and congratulations on your recent success.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was fun.